The election in London will decide the leader of one of the world's great cities. In all its long history, London never really had a mayor, at least not one with any power, until the man who holds the office now. Ken Livingstone has spent nearly a decade in the job. He made changes that some Americans wish they could emulate, but that does not mean he will keep his job now. We've called Andrew Miller, a political editor at The Economist. He joins us from London. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
What's Ken Livingstone done for London?
Well, he's done one particular big thing, one brave thing, which is to introduce a congestion charge. That's a charge for driving into central London. A lot of politicians would have considered electoral suicide, but he introduced that in his first term in office.
He basically said the traffic is too much, the pollution is too much, global warming is too dangerous, let's make people pay the price or take mass transit?
Well, it since has developed more of an environmental rationale, but it was originally designed to reduce congestion in the city.
And was it a political disaster for him?
No, it was an electoral triumph because he was re-elected to having introduced this charge and has served two terms. So that's been his biggest contribution to the city, his biggest tangible contribution.
Well, if he's done some innovative things, and if he's also bringing the 2012 Olympics to London, why would he be in danger now?
Well, there's a number of answers to that question. One is Ken himself. He used to travel under the political sobriquet Red Ken for his extremely left-wing socialist views, most of which he's kind of buried or glossed over during his time as mayor, but not all of which he's completely eschewed because he's conducted a kind of freelance foreign policy which has involved him, for example, cozying up to Hugo Chavez of Venezuela, befriending some radical Islamist imams, inviting them to London, much to the annoyance and chagrin of some people in London, especially the Jewish community.
Well, let me ask about his challengers. I know there's a couple of prominent ones. And one, if you took a photograph of one of the Beatles from the 1960s and turned him upside down and dipped his hair in peroxide, that might be what you'd get.
Well, Boris Johnson, who's the candidate you're referring to, I think would be extremely flattered and delighted by that analogy. But Boris is the other big reason why Ken may not be re-elected. Unlike the Beatles, who came from sturdy working-class Liverpudlian backgrounds, Boris is what in England would be described as a toff. He's posh. He went to Eton. That's sort of part of his identity, however. He's built a kind of comedy television personality around his aristocratic bearing and his slightly shambolic, distracted air. And he first gained prominence as a journalist, then he became an MP, but it was really on TV and a couple of game shows. And then the Conservatives chose him to be their candidate to take on Ken in this mayoral race. And at first it seemed more like a joke than a serious proposition, but actually, partly because of Ken's increasing unpopularity in some parts of London, it's now looking like an incredibly close race. And indeed, a lot of the most recent opinion polls suggest that Boris is actually going to win.
What has Boris Johnson done that suggests he can run one of the world's largest cities?
He's done absolutely nothing to suggest he can do that, to be perfectly frank. He was editor of a magazine called The Spectator for quite a long time, a job which he combined with being an MP. But it has to be said that competent administration is not the trait for which Boris's editorship of The Spectator is most remembered. Actually, it was extramarital affairs which were the distinguishing feature of his tenure, not least by Boris himself, but half the staff seemed to be involved at one time or another. So he has nominally run a fairly small circulation political magazine, but he hasn't held any executive office in government or in public administration. And the truth is he hasn't really evinced much interest in London and the governance of London until the ruse of running to be its mayor occurred to him.
You think it's always been a joke and now he's serious?
He's a funny guy, Boris, because he's undoubtedly incredibly bright and talented. He's a brilliant writer, and he actually is obviously deeply ambitious and determined. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to have these accomplishments in being an MP. So he is by no means an idiot, but he does have a persona of a buffoon. Although he himself, in an interview once, in answer to the question I paraphrase of whether his buffoonish exterior was just a sort of act, he said, well, you have to consider the possibility that beneath the appearance of a buffoon, there lies the reality of a buffoon. But anyway, that may be just evidence that Boris is very good at generating his own myth, his own legend. So he's definitely a very talented and determined guy, but it hasn't necessarily expressed itself, that talent, in administrative enthusiasm or accomplishment to date.
All right, well, thanks for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Steve, no problem.
Andrew Miller is a political editor at The Economist, and he's talking about Britain's local elections, including the election for the mayor of London. Those votes come tomorrow.